Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. This is your host, Crystal Holmes. Today I am joined by Dr. CeCe Williams. Dr. Williams is a licensed psychologist. And in this episode, we're going to talk about therapy. And we're going to talk about therapy not from the perspective of necessarily you got to have something going wrong in your life or you're severely depressed or, as Dr. Williams says, crazy. We're going to explore therapy from the perspective of the busy woman, the busy, overachieving woman, the mom, and just dealing with the complexities of day-to-day life. Now more than ever, we are dealing with a lot. With COVID-19 going on, many of us are trying to figure out how do we manage our children who are not in school, who may not be in camps? How do we start this next school year off? And how do we manage our careers and our general household? Yet still have some time for ourselves. It's a lot going on. A lot. And therapy could be essential in helping you navigate through these challenging times. We even discuss how physical fitness, and you guys know I'm a huge proponent of physical fitness, but how physical fitness also plays a role in managing your mental health. So ladies, I hope you listen in and share this episode and that you get a lot from it, because our mental health is often neglected and it is a huge part in our wellness journey. It affects every aspect of our lives, how we deal with our day-to-day, and even how we deal with our physical health. It's all intertwined, ladies. So ladies, welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast, the fabulous Dr. CeCe Williams. Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast, Dr. Williams. How are you?
I am super. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I am great, and I'm so glad you were willing to join me today for this important discussion, mental health. I mean, it's always an important discussion, but it seems now with everything going on in the world, it is really important today. And I'm super excited to discuss with you how we can help ourselves and care for ourselves better, I guess, our mental health. And, you know, how can we do this, how we can make things better on ourselves.
I am excited to talk about this as well. And not that I'm the expert and have all the answers. Otherwise, I would be exponentially more wealthy. But but I think that it's always a work in progress. And it's a super important topic. And especially for us super women.
Exactly.
So I'm glad to talk about this.
So if you could tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, what you do, or why this is important.
Okay, sure. So again, Dr. CeCe Williams, I work at Atlanta Innovative Counseling Center, which is a lovely place just to, I like to say it's for normal neurotics and people who have other things going on, but just a great safe space for people doing life. You don't have to be crazy to come here. That's not a requirement. You don't have to have your life in shambles to come here. That's not a requirement either. It's just a great goal, I think, that we, most of us, aspire towards. And it's just personally important. I know that when I address my own mental health, that I am the best version of me. So I love being able to be a source of support and a safe space to help others achieve their goals.
Okay, great. So I guess let's just jump right in. There's so much to unpack with mental health. I feel like, well, there's always so much to unpack, but, you know, recently I think a lot of people have been struggling with, you know, COVID-19, being isolated. Folks may have lost their jobs. Maybe people are in fear of losing their jobs. They've got the kids home. It's a lot going on.
Yeah.
How can we cope with all of these things? Do you have
recommendations on things that we can do or how we can benefit from mental health treatment.
Yes, I do. And again, it's not a one size fits all, with the exception of how can we best help ourselves, I would argue, is to know ourselves, to accept ourselves, all of the lovely pros and cons and the yucky parts and the wonderful parts, and to have a solid support system. And family, of course, is ideal, but that's not always an option for everyone. I'm a huge proponent of women supporting women. Lions live the longest and have the best success rates because they work in a group. And it is a bunch of women supporting each other. I'm not necessarily advocating having a polyamorous relationship. No judgment if you do. I'm just saying that's not exactly where I was going with that. I'm just saying, women have this unique ability to understand, see, and support one another. And I think that's invaluable. I think where therapy comes in is that it's a safe person whose job it is to listen, which is invaluable, and to help you see you and help you use the skills that you have, uncover the things that are holding you back, and free you up to soar. And so I always, again, I think it's a wonderful addition to anyone's life. And again, you don't have to have a problem to come, but I think it's a wonderful time to dedicate for yourself. And so for many of us, I'm a mother, a sister, an aunt, a daughter. I have many hats and I take all of those jobs very seriously. And sometimes I get to be the bottom of the totem pole, I think most of the times. And I think that that's a common experience, especially for working mothers and just women, period, whether you're a mother or not, we tend to take on a lot. And so having a space that is dedicated to you for 45 minutes can feel like a godsend. You know, it's just a gift. It's the equivalent of sitting in the tub or going on a walk just by yourself. You know, there's something wonderful about it. And I think it also helps with the vicissitudes of life. So going back to your question about COVID, it's hard. And it's a constantly evolving dynamic that we're having to adjust to, sometimes minute by minute, but week to week. And having a therapist to speak with, of course, is, you know, a positive way to help you balance your emotions, your resentment, your anger. For a lot of introverts, it was like, yes, finally, we get to be home. But even for introverts, it's like, okay, I would like to go outside now. So just kind of balancing that place and space. So I encourage people to refrain from judgment of self and others. Obviously, we have opinions and different people define safety in different ways, but judging others is not going to help you. I think you have to make a decision based on you, your family, your needs, the responsibilities you have, and do the best you can. I know for moms, especially when they're struggling with, should I send my kids to daycare now that it's reopened? Should I not? I really encourage moms to focus on their needs, their children's needs, their family's needs, and then make the decision that they can live with.
Okay. Gosh, you mentioned introverts, and I consider, well, I am an introvert. And so
awesome.
this time has been, it's been good for me. I mean, I will admit I've gotten a little stir crazy here and there, but
yeah,
I've been pretty much okay. But I see those around me that aren't introverts and they are struggling.
Yes. Yes, they are. And so, and that's a really great point. For extroverts, this is especially challenging. Obviously, there are bonuses. Like when I say bonuses, what I mean is if we can make lemonade out of this situation, you know, things like social platforms that allow you to talk with your friends and see their face and facial expressions is one way that I definitely recommend people use, with the caveat that, interestingly, they've done studies on, I don't want to unintentionally market one platform or another, but basically where you can see someone's face and talk with them at the same time, that there are technological delays, and it's hard for us animals to read the social cues because there can be delays, staggers, or the call will drop, et cetera. So it can also be taxing to do these video type conference situations. For that, I say, do as much as you can manage. I don't mean every day, every minute, but do what feels right to you. And then figure out ways that you can safely interact with humans that in a way that feeds your soul. So whether that's sitting outside at a restaurant that's not crowded because at least you're around humans, or I'm a huge proponent of going for a walk. Not only do you get endorphins, but it's outside, it's fresh air, and you can socialize in a safe way without a lot of anxiety about potentially catching or transferring disease or a virus. Obviously not like hand in hand unless it's your partner, but I think walking is invaluable.
Okay, you brought up something that's these video platforms, I never even thought about it that way, that they can be quite draining. I have to use them for work.
Yeah.
And even the phone calls, I think I'm on the phone now more.
Yes.
Working. And it is completely draining.
Yes. Lots of people are like, oh, I just turn the video off, or I'm just exhausted. And part of my job with my clients lately has been like, yes, don't worry. Everybody else is tired too. Like normalizing that this is your experience. Absolutely. So you're not alone.
Wow. Okay. Now you also touched on mothers, and I'm a mom, so that's been a whole nother struggle.
Yes.
How can therapy help us?
Listen, you're a high achiever. Again, women just tend to be. We think a lot. We care a lot. You know, for many of us, our babies are our heartbeats outside of us. It is a lot. And sometimes you just need another mama or another woman to say, you've got this. It's okay. Or no worries. I did that too. I too fed them lunch meat for dinner or whatever, you know, whatever you think is good or bad or whatever. You know, you need someone else to say, I yelled at my kid too, and I lost my temper and I feel horribly. So you're not feeling alone. And that's where I find therapy to be helpful. I also think it's helpful at the different stages of motherhood. And you and I have talked about this offline a little bit, but I have a deep passion and care for new moms who are managing all of this, because it's such an intense, amazing time. And it can also be a very dark time. And motherhood period can, because you're worrying about your babies. Are they okay? Did you do everything that you need to do for them, et cetera? So again, having another human who has walked the path, and even for therapists who are not mothers, it doesn't mean, you know, you don't have to have a heart attack to be a heart surgeon, but just having another person who sees you, who validates you, who can help you make decisions if you're a single mom, or even if you have a partner, but just you don't feel you can talk to them or balance ideas off of them, it's really helpful. Or to say, you know, I have a mama who is a new mom, and just tell her, you're exhausted. Like, lower the bar, man. Lower the bar. You're not going to remember in this time period. You're just not. And so I think as a mom, to have a safe space where someone is encouraging, validating, supporting, and helping you think things through, that can be invaluable.
Well, okay. So that's okay. You brought up a really good point, or something that brought a question to my mind, because some of the listeners who may have fear or whatever about going to a therapist, they might be thinking, okay, Dr. Williams said, having a conversation with another human being is beneficial. Why can't I just have a conversation with my girlfriend over here? Why do I have to go to therapy?
Well, I encourage you to have a conversation with your girlfriend. Again, women are invaluable. And hopefully you have an amazing girlfriend. I have God's gift to the world in terms of a best friend. It's not one or the other. I think it's both. So talk to your girlfriend. And if she's a good girlfriend, she has a dog in the fight, right? And as a great therapist, I'm not gonna lie either. I always have a dog in the fight too. Like, I want what's best for you. I think the difference is that I can see things. I can like zoom out and connect dots and give you words and paint the picture for you in a way that you can see it, where a girlfriend may or may not be able to.
Right.
And so that's why I would say therapy is a positive addition or another tool in your toolkit. The other part of it is, and again, it's invaluable for females to share their experience so you're not feeling isolated and alone. And with a therapist, you're not going to come to a session, or at this point, video or call a session, and I'm spending the time talking about me. So again, it's a place that is only about you. With a good girlfriend, you're going back and forth about what's going on with her, what's going on with you, et cetera.
Right. And I found, just to get personal, I've had, I guess, times in my life where I needed to talk, and I probably should have been in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I realize now, relying on whether that be that one girlfriend or whoever, or how many of it was, probably one that I'm thinking, one is coming to mind. I probably wore her out.
Well,
I mean, with the constant calls and the, you know, and I mean, I know she was there to support me, but yes. I'm sure there were times that I called that she just didn't answer.
That makes me tearful. I'm sure she was okay with it. Okay, so listen, I have a twofold response to that. One, whether you wore her out or not, who cares? She loves you, or she loved you. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's okay. And so I think I'm going to answer your question, and let me just go on this tangent. One of the things, again, especially for very driven, accomplished women, is we tend to get there largely on our own merits. And we're kind of reinforced and fed, you got to do it on your own. You only can depend on yourself. Don't burden anyone else. And that thought process does us a huge disservice. And it's 100% unnecessary, because for all the times you called your girlfriend, I'm sure she had a lifetime where a time in her life where she called you and wore you out. And yes, it can get exhausting, but who cares? That's what you're there for. You're her friend. So that's my soapbox about that. I think we sell our friends short sometimes when we over worry about their capacity to deal with our difficult times. With that being said, yes, if it helps you technically to feel like, oh, well, this is her job to listen to me, so I don't have to feel guilty. Yes, that is one of the benefits of therapy, is that you don't have to worry. We could talk about the same thing every time. Every time, and it's fine.
Okay.
People are going to have a reaction. I'm going to challenge you on it. But yes, that is one of the upsides, is that you can feel like, oh, well, I'm paying this person. They have to listen. It's okay. And maybe that frees up some guilt or feeling a sense of burden.
Right. Right. Well, that makes me feel better, because I did... I felt like I was just wearing her out. And, you know, looking back, I'm certain I would have benefited from some therapy. But yeah, that's just a thought. So,
yes. Well, and just as a side note, again, maybe you could ask her
right.
if you wore her out. But again, even if you did, it's okay.
Right.
Sometimes it's our time to give, and sometimes it's our time to receive. So,
right.
It's okay.
So, I mean, you know this, I know this, we all know this. There are stigmas and myths, you know, about therapy and what that is.
Yes.
And I think that prohibits a lot of us from going to get help. How can we dispel those myths and stigmas?
Okay. I think, thank you for asking that question. again, if you don't take anything from this conversation, it is not a requirement to be crazy to come to therapy. That is not like if someone sees you on the street coming into the building, obviously not now, but, you know, in non-COVID times, it's not like all of a sudden you have that scarlet letter on your forehead that I can't handle anything. My life is falling apart. Also, it's okay if your life is falling apart. I think historically, whether it's in the Black community and the historical experiences with doctors, which is a hurdle, health period, not just mental health, but it's a hurdle that needs to be jumped from basically who you've been raised around or what stories you grew up with about whether you should go to a doctor or not, or trust a doctor or not. Don't air your dirty laundry. Handle everything in the home. What are they going to do to help me? They don't know me and they don't know my life. So there can be some things that historically as a Black American, you might've experienced or your ancestors experienced that were those fears were passed on to you. Even in other cultures and again, keeping things very private and proud, et cetera, those things tend to be the ones that get in the way and are impediments to coming to seek therapy. So why I make the comment about you don't need to be crazy to come is because it's not that you have a sickness. It is truly another human being who cares about you, sees you, and helps you make sense of your world. It's someone who's invested in your well-being and not out to hurt you. If you ever are in a therapeutic situation and feel like someone's manipulating you or out to hurt you or even not helping you, that happens. I want to be very honest. Sometimes a therapist is not a good fit for you. And that could be they're not a good fit because they don't listen. They're not a good fit because they spend all the time talking about themselves. They're not a good fit because you feel like they don't get you, whatever it is. Or even it's just, it's okay. That's not a good fit. You need to go to someone that you feel warm, comfortable, who challenges you, who's, but gentle enough, depending on your style, find someone who can really walk through life with you and help you through all of these times. So for all the clients that I had prior to the pandemic, I know them. I have a good sense of them. I have a good sense of their world and what they're dealing with. And then when the pandemic comes, they already have a support system in place with me. And obviously other, I always encourage, you know, people to have a range of tools in their tool basket, but having someone who's in your corner and has your back and can see your patterns and let you know what those are really helps shortcut some difficult moments, I think.
Now you mentioned,
did I answer your question?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, you did. Okay. And you mentioned something in answering that you said, maybe find someone that doesn't talk a whole bunch about themselves. Now, is that okay for a therapist to share?
Absolutely. So thank you for asking that question. Here's the bottom line. Of course. I also don't think it would be fun to go to a therapist who's just like, okay. All right, we'll see you next time, right? Like that's, you know, that feels like, okay, I don't know anything about you. I think it's wonderful for therapists to share as long as it is in service of the client. So I often will share stories. Okay. As long as it's useful to the client and not just me sharing stories. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay.
And I think that goes to a myth, you know, that I had in my mind because you watch, I don't know, therapy sessions on TV shows and they're just sitting there and they're listening and the person's on the couch just talking and they're not saying anything.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for bringing up TV. If I can just interject here. Okay. First of all, we are not having sex with our clients and nor should we. It is an ethical violation. Let me be clear. If your therapist at any point propositions or falls into some seduction of having sex with you, that is wrong, bad. That's not what we do. Also, there are stylistically, there are certain types of therapists who are more, who fit that description that you're saying, like, okay, and don't say very much. I would argue that that's less likely to happen these days. That's more of an older style of practicing therapy. But again, to each his own. I think that, you know, therapists are humans. They are not infallible. They are imperfectly wonderful, and their personalities come with them. So what you hear from me now is pretty much what you get in a therapy session. You know, I'm going to laugh with you. I'm going to roll my eyes, and I'm going to say, "What? No way." You know, you're going to get my reactions because that's me. But someone else may or may not be that way. And again, the point being, not all therapists are like the ones on TV, and you know, it's probably with any profession. If you're a lawyer, you're like, dude, as a lawyer, I don't do that. Or, you know, some people do, but that's not really what lawyers do. You know, whatever that is. Or as a medical doctor, it's not like Grey's Anatomy, or it is like, you know, whatever that is. But I encourage people to know themselves enough to know, I like people who are gentle. I like people who just let me talk the whole time. I like people who interject and give me solutions. There are different types of therapists for different types of personalities and people.
Right. And I mean, that just brings, years ago, I went to a therapist, and she did share. And at first I was thinking in my brain, the TV brain, you're not supposed to talk, therapist. Is this right?
Yeah.
But as the sessions went on, it was like a girlfriend chat almost. Like we were, and that really helped me, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, I had this myth in my brain, like that we weren't supposed to be talking like that, you know.
Yes. And that's really a great, and thank you for being courageous and saying that, because yes, it's okay if your therapist feels like your girlfriend. Like, in fact, in many ways, that's positive. If you're feeling a warm connection and safe and comfortable, you guys should not be going out to dinner with each other. Not that there should be boundaries so the relationship is protected, but yes, that you feel like she's a human too. It's not just one-sided. And I hear you smile when you talk about it. And so that, to me, hopefully was a positive experience for you.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
Good.
Okay. Now, you mentioned motherhood, and I know that's a whole nother ball game, but I want to get into like the new moms, especially now with COVID. My daughter's 9, so I can only imagine what being pregnant now is like, or delivering now, and just the stress.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because on one hand, so I hope if there are any new mamas listening that you can hear me, that you hear this. On one hand, there's something very wonderful about COVID because you're not pressured now to leave your house. I think when you're a new mom, you may feel like, I need to be out. I need to go grocery shopping. I need to do this. I need to do that. But really, I just want to sit loved up with my baby. So I think on one hand, that's a positive, is that everybody is being sequestered and isolated. So hopefully you don't feel so alone. I think the increased terror that comes with, oh goodness, if my child gets COVID, if I get it, that is really, really a heavy burden. The upside of exhaustion, though, is maybe you're too tired to worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that you brought up a great point, because I turned and I looked at my daughter after about a month or two into this.
Yeah.
And I said, we haven't spent this much time together since you were a baby.
Yes. Yeah.
But I've enjoyed the time with her.
Yes. Yeah. So that, to me, I think that's what's lovely about it, is that it's really permission to be loved up for the moms who like that part of it. For extroverted or more on the go type of moms, it can be very challenging because a lot of women are told you should have be in a mom group or you should this and you should that. And personality type, that may not be everyone. So, you know, you shared that you were an introvert, and I can lean towards that, towards introvert too. And I didn't want to be in a mom's group. I mean, I saw the value conceptually, but it felt draining. And this is not every mom, but I wanted to be loved up with my baby. And not that I didn't want some human interaction or some help from other women. It's just that seemed so much on top of everything that's involved with taking care of a newborn. So hopefully it gives new moms some relief on one hand, again, that they're not expected to bounce back or put makeup on or whatever it is they may have in their head that they think that all of us moms do. But again, on the other hand, it really can be terrifying. You know, my little guys are young, and so I'm mindful of what is this doing to them socially, and their mental health. When you have an infant, again, I think some of the upsides are that, you know, what you need is to be loved on. That's the main goal. And obviously all of our children need that at every stage. And as they grow, they have varying needs. So for your 9-year-old, depending on if she's an introvert or extrovert, for her, this could be a dream come true. Mommy all the time. Yes. You know, or if she feels like she's missing her friends or her school activities, I'm sure that crosses your mind too, or becomes a stressor. Am I paying enough attention to her? Is she getting what she needs? Is she socializing enough? Or with distance learning, depending on the age group of your children, that's having a whole impact. And quite honestly, it typically falls on the mother's shoulder to figure out how to balance their child's mental health, their educational needs, their developmental needs, and keep them fed.
Right. And then that's what's been I mean, my daughter is an extrovert. Like, we are totally opposite. Mm-hmm. So, but surprisingly, she does miss her friends.
Yeah.
She's done pretty well, and she thrived with the online learning. Now, Mama didn't thrive that well with online learning, but
no judgment, none of it. But
I did not thrive.
Stressful.
And then
the teenagers, the adolescents and the teenagers did really well.
Right. but trying to balance that and work, Oh man, I was so happy when summer came.
Yes, Lord, amen to that.
But it was a lot. And, you know, which kind of brings me to the next topic that we kind of talked about offline, exercise. So, mm-hmm. I've probably shared this with my listeners before, but just some personal stuff about me. I really believe when I started really exercising consistently, that saved my life, not only from a physical standpoint, yeah. But the stress of life and my career and really was taking a toll on me.
Yes.
And I found myself gaining weight. So I said, I'm going to get a trainer. And I didn't realize at the time the mental benefits that I would receive from the regular exercise. And it just totally transformed me. So now I have to get physical exercise in.
Yes. Yes. Okay. You and I are really, you know, excited about this topic. So listeners, put your seatbelts on. I 100% agree and would say that your experience can be extrapolated across the board. One of the tools that I would say in 99.9% of any of my clients that I recommend is exercise. Less about you need to look like a supermodel or lose weight or gain muscle or whatever it is. It's truly for the endorphins. If nothing else, it's for the endorphins. It is your natural hormone to improve your mood. And I don't know what magical thing happens, but something somehow after a run or a walk, nothing's that bad.
Right.
It's not that stressful. Like, it's just your cares just go away. I mean, it's a drug. but it's a safe one. It's one that does not hurt you or anyone else. So I strongly encourage for every human, and again, whether you're running a marathon, whether you're keeping yourself toned, or literally going around your neighborhood and walking, fresh air, endorphins are invaluable. It is your free way. And you don't, you know, I told my trainer, I'm coming to you because it's, I want a friend to talk to. And also we could work out. you can find, do your workout stuff. And it's just nice to be able to socialize. So, you know, I got my mask on, my gloves on, but it's that human interaction. It's being able to use your body to make gains, to know that, oh, today I walked 15 minutes. Next week I walked 30 minutes. That sense of accomplishment also gives you something to work towards or feel proud about in a time that seems like it's going on forever. I think that the other part of setting aside time to exercise is that it truly can be the one time that you have for yourself. So again, and this, it's kind of the same vein with therapy. A lot of times as women, we are juggling a lot, whether you have children or not. And as mothers, you're juggling a lot. So you're stressed about your daughter's online learning because you care and because you want to make sure she's okay, but you also have a job and you also have to make sure there's food in the house. So it's the one time that you can devote to yourself and give yourself self-care. And I cannot stress this enough. As women, it even if you take 5 minutes, if you start with 5 minutes and just devote some care to yourself, you will see the value. So even if that's walking, having a trainer, doing an online class, that you can have some dedicated time consistently, not in a pressure way, but as a way to truly remember yourself, connect with your body mentally and physically and emotionally, and work through some of your frustrations. I cannot stress the value that that it gives to you mentally, physically, and emotionally.
And you brought up a really good point that I really never thought about, but the human connection, you know, and I do have a trainer and you do consider that person your friend.
Yeah. And especially for someone like you, who's, you know, interviewing a lot, you're asking a lot of people questions, but not necessarily getting your own time to really talk.
Right.
So with your trainer, you know, although that person may be barking orders at you, you know, you could say something.
Right. Right. And, yeah. And he and I actually chat a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
that's good.
You know, there's other people at the gym and they kind of become kind of like your crew. Like,
yeah. Yes.
And they encourage you and you joke.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's the thing. And I'd say, again, especially for an introvert, it's like enough and not too much that it's overwhelming. It's enough interaction and then you can leave and you don't have to be responsible for these people. But yes, it builds community. It builds just a positive outlet for you and the camaraderie and someone that's encouraging you and truthfully thinking for you. So for those who are fortunate enough to have a trainer, I imagine this is true for you, Crystal. Like, it's the one time you don't have to think.
Yeah.
You just follow orders.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't like the orders, but
yeah. Yeah, you could talk back. You could talk back. You could follow. You could just be like, do you just have to show up? It's awesome.
That's true. I don't have to plan out my workout. It's already done.
No. Yeah. Your trainer may snip at you, but you know, that's part of his job. So it's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're right. It is. That is the one time a day where it's just my time.
Yeah. Yep. You don't have to feed anyone. You don't have to. And you know, again, I think you love being a mother and you love your daughter. So it's not one or the other. It's just, it's also nice to unplug and not be responsible for like a minute.
Well, it helps me all around be a better mom, a better, you know, better in my career because I can manage the stress, you know?
Yes.
I leave the gym, I come home, I'm ready to start my day. And I, you know, cause I feel much better.
Yes. And I, just to add words to that, that's because you have unplugged from everything and plugged into you. So you recharged your battery. You have decreased your stress hormones, literally, because you've increased your hormones, your endorphins, and worked out your stress. Not all of it, but some of it. You have most, I would imagine that most of the time when you leave your trainer, you are in a better mood than when you started.
Yes.
So then that impacts and influences your outlook for the day. And again, in terms of being a mom, you're in a better space. You're not as resentful. You're not as angry. You're not as groggy. You know, if you come home, you're like, okay, I'm up. I'm good. I'm going, you know. I think it's also wonderful to pattern and model for our children. Children learn by what they see. We could tell them things all day long about eat healthfully or exercise or take time for yourself. It doesn't matter. If they don't see us doing it, it's going in one ear and out the other.
Well, how, Doctor, how can we encourage people to be more physically active? Because I tell people this all the time, but a lot of them don't listen. They find it hard to get off that couch.
Yes. So here's what I would say. I think it's probably most efficacious to show rather than tell, and or to invite. And it's probably a little easier now, air quotes easier, because where we normally would get together and have dinner with friends, that for a lot of people does not feel safe. So it's easier now to say, let's go walk. And I think that feels more encouraging, less judgmental than you really should exercise. And here's what I have to say again, especially for the working mamas or mother. And when I say working, I mean whether you're a full-time mom or working outside of the home, not really outside of the home, because most of us are working in the home, but out, you know,
right.
Still have a responsibility to an outside job that pays. Motherhood does not pay in cash. But anyway, we can come up with very real reasons and roadblocks to carving out time for ourselves. So what I have to say to those women, again, whether you have children or not, but I know I'm particularly sensitive to women who are juggling one, two, three, four plus children. And where am I supposed to do this? If I'm getting up early to unload the dishwasher, prep breakfast, prep lunch, prep dinner so that I can work during the day. And when it was school, do online, help with online learning and, oh, do some laundry in between. Where am I supposed to go exercise at what time? So I want to just say to those women, that is all true. And if you could work towards carving out time for you, I encourage you to do so. Again, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you don't have to be a bodybuilder. You can just go for a walk or do sit-ups, push-ups, and squats, 25 each. And it just is a great reset. So I totally understand. I'll share kind of my journey with this. I've always exercised, so that wasn't the issue. But, you know, at different phases, it's harder with when you have a newborn or when you have another one and one needs this, one needs that. When pandemic hit, I was doing yoga at a yoga studio and that obviously closed. And there was a time where I just didn't pick up something else because I was just like, okay, I got to get up. I got to make food. I got to do this. It was just getting cyclical where I wasn't doing anything. But because I know the value of exercise in my life, I realized, hey, I got to figure this out. So I get up at the crack of dawn because that way I can get up at the crack of dawn and be back usually before or right when my boys wake up. Because I still want to be there and see them. But sometimes they're up before me, and I will be honest, I miss I miss being there when they, you know, come in the room and mommy, you know, I miss that. And so that was a sacrifice to give that up. But the way I worked around it was I knew that this was good for me. I knew that this was going to sustain me and help me to be a better mom and person, et cetera. And so that's why I figured out a way to do it. Yes, I have to wake up early. And I'm not really enthusiastic about that, but I am worth it to me. And my children are worth it that they have a mom who uses her coping skills and her tools rather than I'm breaking my back and they just get a shell of me. So in terms of encouraging, I think the more we all share how exercise works in our lives and the little ways and hacks that we find to get it in, I think that is what's really most influential.
Gosh, our stories are very similar because, you know, I was very consistent with my workouts and I was a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm. Then, mm-hmm.
But I was able to manage it because I was self-employed at the time.
Yes.
So I could play with my schedule a bit. But in 2016, I accepted a full-time job with a firm. And I'm going to be honest. I took that job kicking and screaming. And one of my main issues was, how am I going to get to the gym?
Yes. Yeah.
And that is, I know that might sound crazy to some people, but that's how important that time is to me. So I said, I found the nearest gym near my office and I would try to go on my lunch hours, but you know how that goes.
Yes.
With each week and each month, it became less frequent. And then yes. I looked up like 3 years later and yeah. I was just like, oh my God, what happened?
Right. Right.
So I said, I got to find something. I got to figure out a way, but when can I go? I can't go before work. Cause a lot of the gyms that I knew didn't start open until a certain time. And yep. I can't go mm-hmm. after work. Cause I got to get the kid home and dinner and she's got activities.
Yes.
So I found a gym that starts at 4 a.m.
Wow.
So I get up.
Yes.
So I leave my house at 3:45 in the morning and I work out at 4.
Bless your heart. And
it's a challenge, but I need that. I need it.
Yeah. Well, let me just jump in here. And again, thank you for saying that. So what I'd love for listeners to hear is that, again, it's a process. And as focused as you were as a bodybuilder, which is a whole nother level, that is very, very meticulous, mindful. It is a job. It is another job. So I'm pretty sure motherhood tricked that off for you a little bit. And then, you know, you get this demanding job on top of, you know, your fitness goals. And it really becomes challenging. But what I want listeners to hear is that, you know, for 3 years, you weren't bodybuilding and nor exercising. And that's okay. And you got back on the horse and you figured out a way. And they've heard you say and me say, I thought I was getting up early. You beat me. But but I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, I nosedive as the day gets later. And so going to the gym after work, it's not my bag. I can't do that. My friend, she can do it all day long, but that's just not me. So I do have to get up early and it's not fun. But once it becomes a routine, the pros so outweigh the cons. So I hope that people hear that. Like how, again, however you figure it out for you, it's worth it and no judgment. And if you fall back, just get back on. Or if you've never started, you don't have to be afraid. We're all approaching this. And speaking of that, I want a public service announcement that whether you're at the gym, the swimming pool, or walking, nobody cares what you're doing. So for all of my people out there who are worried they're not fit enough to go to the gym because everybody's going to be looking at them, no, they're not. Everybody is looking at themselves and trying to figure out what's going on with them.
Right. That's so true.
Yeah.
Nobody's thinking about you, ladies.
No.
Because you're thinking everybody's thinking about you, and I'm thinking everybody's thinking about me. We're all thinking everybody's thinking about
our. Yeah. And meanwhile, you're like, oh, I wish I was this, or I wish I was that, or I need to get better. But like, that's, and you'll see once you go to the gym or work out, you'll see.
But you hit the key. You got to just make the time for yourself. Figure it out.
Yes. And it's not easy. I want to say that too. It's not easy, but many things that are worth having are not. It shouldn't be the hardest thing. I don't want anybody killing themselves to do it. If you're in a space in your life where it just seems more taxing than beneficial, okay. Or if you're injured or you need to take a break, then take a break. And just know that, again, the endorphins, that private time, the socialization, if you're doing it with someone else, so worth the cost.
Thank you so much, Dr. Williams.
Oh, you're welcome.
This was so much fun.
Okay, good. Yeah, it was fun for me too. I hope it was helpful.
It was very helpful. It was so much fun. And I just love talking about exercise. So,
yes. Yes.
Thank you so
much.
We
can continue. We could have a whole discussion.
Oh, yes.
About it. But yeah, I really just want to encourage all of your listeners, male, female. This is such a challenging time, and for many of us, unprecedented, unless you're maybe 90 plus or something. But, you know, we're all trying to figure it out. Please be compassionate with yourself. Please be gentle. Please do the best you can according to you. I would encourage people to be safe. You know, when we're not safe, it has a ripple effect. So please wear masks and limit your social interaction, and also figure out ways to interact that feed your soul. You're not crazy. You're not alone. This is challenging, and it's likely to go on until next summer. I don't know that for sure. I'm just saying, like, this, yeah, I think what I saw is, oh no, this is not real. Then, oh, maybe it's real. Then the stress of like, oh God, what the school and this and that, it's so much. And then, oh, I got this. And then, whew, this is dragging on a long time. This is draining. So it's, you know, it's just this wave that goes through people. So I encourage people to share, to stay connected in a way that fits your introvert, extrovert, middle of the road self, and make time to take care of you, to pay attention to you, to your body, your emotions. And listen. We have intuition for a reason. Please listen.
Yes. So, Dr. Williams, if people want to learn more about you or reach out to you, maybe they want to engage your services, how can they reach you?
Oh, it's a great question. Again, Atlanta Innovative Counseling Center. You can look us up online or our website. Atlanta Innovative Counseling Center. It's a mouthful, but worth it. Or I'm on psychologytoday.com and probably some other websites. You can just Google Dr. Cece Williams and find me. My office is located in the Smyrna Vinings area. For right now, doing telemental health and phone for whatever works best for each person. And for those who are in a house full of people, I have had many car sessions. It's lovely, very peaceful. The birds sing in the background. So environment is not a limitation, but you're welcome to email me at drcc@atlantainnovativecounseling.com, drcc@atlantainnovativecounseling.com, or my office number is 770-293-1950, extension 105. Again, 770-293-1950, extension 105. And I will get back to you, or my wonderful administrative extraordinaire who you've communicated with, Crystal, Michelle, she will get back to you if I'm in session. And I'd love to be a help or point you in the right direction. If I'm not a good fit, I'm happy to help you find the person who is.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Williams. And listeners, make sure you reach out. Dr. Williams is fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Crystal. I appreciate it.
Well, there you have it, Go Hard Chicks. That was another great episode with Dr. Cece Williams. I hope you reach out to Dr. Williams. And if you have any questions or concerns or need advice or even therapy, she's a great, great resource. And she is offering telemedicine or teletherapy right now. So even if you're not in the Atlanta area, she may be able to help you. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review. Doing so really helps me to continue to bring you guys great content and to have guests on like Dr. Williams. If you have questions or concerns or just want to shoot me an email, please do so. My email address is Crystal, that's spelled K-R-I-S-T-A-L, at GoHardChick.com. Or you can leave me a voice message at SpeakPipe.com/GoHardChick. Make it a great week, ladies.